All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? It's a Monday. It's overcast yet somewhat sunny. The hockey season is now over. For most of you, that's a celebration in itself, but we have a Stanley Cup champ. The finals could be over as early as tonight, and then we would be left with just baseball and golf.
There was hockey?
See?
What?
I knew you were going to say that.
There was a... When did that start?
Well, I'll tell you what.
I found out they won this morning, like at 9:30.
Who? Found out who won?
The Penguins won.
The Canadian Frozens beat the,
no.
the Pittsburgh
beat Penguins. The South Canadian Snows
no,
by a score of 0-0. The half, they got a half point somewhere.
Who'd have thunk that
nine assists Nashville. On one goal?
Nashville would not only have a hockey team, but they call it the best environment for hockey.
I doubt it.
Dude, their crowd is ridiculous.
I doubt it.
They showed aerials last night because for all the people that couldn't get tickets, you know how they do the screens outside and such?
Yeah.
Like for six blocks down the street from the arena, the entire street was just nothing but people. Like it literally looked like a football stadium had been unraveled across down a street. They were going nuts, and then they lost. And their big thing is, you know how some hockey teams throw, if you get a hat trick, you get hats, and some people throw the octopus. Their big thing is catfish.
Yeah.
After the game,
catfish sales were way down.
Penguin fans were on the street eating raw catfish.
Wait a minute. Raw?
In the street. Raw.
Pittsburgh guys are dumb.
Yeah.
Why in the hell would you eat a raw catfish to celebrate a hockey championship?
And
I go back to this is what's wrong with hockey.
I already had explained to you guys earlier, like for the games in Pittsburgh, a Nashville fan had like run the catfish over with a truck, soaked it in Old Spice, put it between his compression, and got it in. Can you? And then you're going to put that in your mouth?
Yeah, I'm not. No.
I'm with you.
No. If the Astros were to beat the Marlins in the World Series, I'm not eating raw Marlin on Richmond. Not doing that.
Would you eat a Springer Dinger?
No, but I'd eat a Zinger.
Okay.
Charlie Brown. A little Debbie Zinger.
Weren't they?
Zingers were good.
Yeah, I thought they were Charlie Brown Zingers.
No, they were a little Debbie, I think.
They used to have the Peanuts characters on. Dolly Madison had Zingers, I think.
Oh, was it Dolly Madison? Yeah. Madison, whatever. I messed with all them hoes.
So, of course you did.
Yeah.
So the Peanuts characters, at least, were.
Was it Peanuts on the Zingers?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Oh, believe me. As a kid, I was sure.
I was forgetting who I was messing with. I was messing with the fat kid, numero uno snack eater.
Oh, baby. Yeah, I needed a shoehorn to get in the bathtub back then, but I wasn't missing any of them Dolly Madison snacks.
The A numero uno snack eater as a kid.
Yeah.
All right, I dig it.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm kind of mad.
Uh-oh.
I'm a little pissed, guys.
Shocker.
Yeah, really.
What?
Well, you're always mad.
It's an 80-day, Nick, not a 20-day. It's Monday.
I'm in a good mood.
Okay, so then, you
but
were
I'm
pissed.
Angry at the car industry, specifically car dealerships, repair shops. So it was time to take the old truck in. It's a Chevy.
I thought you made a deal to sell it on Friday.
I know. I need to look up how much I owe on
yes,
it.
Because
if I can get 20 or 21 for it, like he said, then I might be done with this stupid ass truck. So I'm in need of a brake job, and my transmission is acting funny. So I take it to the Chevy dealer to have this all looked at and get a price for. And I won't mention their name yet, but...
it's coming.
Well, we'll see if they try to charge me just for inspection and stuff like that, because they, they'll... If I don't get my brakes done, we'll see how much they want to charge me. Usually, I would expect it to be like $49 just for the, to look things over. But I have a feeling they're going to charge me something crazy like 89.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be $49.
I have a feeling it's going to be like 89 or 139, and I'm going to lose my bleep on them when they do that. And then I'll come in here and talk mess about the name of their dealership.
So this is basically part A of a two-part.
This is part A. Tomorrow, yeah. I may be dropping names mixed in with my vitriol. Today, it's just about the price I got quoted for a brake job. So she sends me this list of things that they've inspected on my truck. Oh, you need your, you know, you need, you need back brakes and you need front brakes, which was weird because usually the back brakes aren't a big deal. Usually when you need brakes, you need front brakes done. Your back brakes, they don't go out that. But apparently my back brakes are like down to 2 millimeters and the front are at 4. She was like, you could wait on those. That usually when they get down to 3, we recommend you get them done. I'm like, no, they're squeaking. That's why I brought them in. I want the front brakes done because they squeak. So they look it over. She sends me the sheet, right? And in the email, she tells me everything that needs to be done on the car. And one of them is she's suggesting that I get fuel injection cleaning done. And I'm like, nah, I don't really think that's necessary. Yeah, I'm like, I put in some of like the seafoam. That stuff usually knocks that out. So this is what she said. Failed. Check brake fluid level and condition. They check the condition of your brake fluid. Really? Is that what we do?
It's been working out, you know.
I need to, she suggests I perform a brake system fluid exchange. That's a fancy way of saying new brake fluid.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I need to replace my rear brake pads and resurface my rear brake rotors. And then recalibrate my PCM. So I'm due for an injection cleaning. Recalibrate my PCM, perform fuel air induction system service, air filter, right? Like, yep. That's what we're talking about here, yep. Air filter. And then all the other stuff that they talked about, my cabin filter is dirty. Bitch. Get out of here with that. And then found coolant is discolored. Bitch. You can get out with that, too. Like, so there's all these things that they send me, right? And then I'm like, okay, what is just the brakes? Just the brakes. Front brakes, rear brakes. What am I looking at? Well, your rear brakes are the ones that you definitely need to get done. That would be $289. I'm sorry, for two brakes? It's $289? Yeah. Yeah, and that's resurfacing the rotors. Oh, are you doing them by hand with a pocket knife for $289? And I'm like, how much is the front brake? She's like, oh, those are $279.
Dang it.
What? So let me get this straight. For about almost $600, a brake job for $600, and that doesn't even include, what did she say? Oh, swapping out the brake fluid, which would be another $100. She told me $700, sir, to get your brake system done.
That's dealing with a dealership right there.
What? Yep. And I was like, that's when I was like, you know what? That seems a little excessive for a brake job, doesn't it? Well, we use OEM parts. Well,
so?
Yeah. What the hell are you talking about?
Gold-plated, I hope.
So I got pissed. And I'm like, nah, just check the, because the other thought, I'm having a transmission issue. I was like, just check the transmission and call me back. She was like, so do you want me to just charge you for the inspection? I was like, lady? You just need to hold on. I'm going to call around to see how much I can get these brakes done for. So I call a brake place that checks your brakes. I won't say their name.
You pretty much did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, it's like $90 for per axle or something like that. Like, my drive-out price was $350 to have the rotors turned. That was $30 per rotor, which, okay. And then the brakes were like $90 an axle. I mean, drive out, I was at less than $350, as opposed to $700 from a dealership.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I don't want them squeaking, though. The last time I did that, that's the whole reason I went to a dealership this time, was because the last time I did it, they were squeaking. So this time, I was like, I'll go there because they use OEM. Oh, I'd rather listen to the squeaking than pay $700 for a brake job. Are you kidding me?
Plus, if you got a receipt, you can take it back to those guys if they're still squeaking.
Yeah, and that's why I was like, this lady is insane. And again, I'm not saying a dealership name yet. But we'll see what they want to charge me for this whack-ass inspection they did on my truck and see what's going to happen.
Honestly, I thought it'd be more.
I did too.
You thought it would be more than $700 for a brake job?
I thought they were close to $750, $800 bucks, easily.
Dealerships are going to gouge your ass out.
$700. That's 700 American. Not euros, not Canadian, 700 American dollars for a brake job. A brake job that if I wasn't lazy, I could probably do myself on a Saturday, start to finish. I've done my front brakes. I just haven't done back brakes before. $700.
Good thing you're not mad about it, though.
Idiots.
Ugh. Part B tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see what they want to charge me for the inspection, and that might be a whole other rant.
So if you want to come through with a brake job for Barry, give us a call. Otherwise, if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That'll get you through either by a call or a text message. I think Nick's checking text messages. Yeah, right. And you can also reach us on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So as the announcer says, and he doesn't lie, Nick, Joel, Barry all in studio for a Monday as our following is starting to grasp onto this concept that they are suspects.
Yeah.
If they're regulars, they're suspect.
They're suspect.
Well, that too, but we appreciate it.
They're all suspect.
Yeah. But some of the suspects ready to jump off a cliff or a ledge because the Astros lost a series to the Angels.
Uh-oh.
Troutless.
Jeez.
Yeah, the Troutless Angels at that.
They were Cameron Maybend and company.
That's okay, though. The Angels may have been Troutless. The Astros were pretty much starter rotationless.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then their bullpen.
Well, there's that, too.
Blew a tire or two.
Yeah.
I don't think it's panic mode. Everybody's already jumping off the deep end. Look, these things are going to happen. It's a 162-game season. You're going to have downs as well as all the ups that they've had so far. To still maintain the best record in the game and have some struggles, they've only lost three series all year, and two of them, they've lost to the Royals, they've lost to the Indians, now they've lost a series to the Angels.
Yeah, I was going to say, they've lost four series, but only to three teams. They lost both series to the Indians, and they lost once to the Royals and now once to the Angels. They've lost four series.
So they lost both series to the Indians?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. They dropped two out of three, and then all three. They got swept.
I thought they lost both to the Royals, too.
Nope. They split with the Royals last time they were here. They won the first and the last of that series.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, but anyway, so three teams, four series, not anything to jump off a cliff about.
No.
But at the same time, it's starting to get a little bit more pressing in terms of addressing starting pitching and then also giving your bullpen a little bit of a breather. But, man, guys that I don't have confidence in lived up to billing, but guys that I do have confidence in have completely let me down. Feliz was awful yesterday.
Yeah, his last couple outings haven't been that great.
Yeah, his last two have been horrible, and he just kept getting lit up. I kept going, here's another one where they're going to come back down 3-0 early. They're going to climb the ladder. They're in it. They're winning. It's beautiful. And then Feliz comes in and turns a bonfire into a towering inferno.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we said it earlier. I know I've been preaching this since the, end of April, but they're going to go through a dip. They're going to go through a downturn. And that's kind of what's happening right now. They've lost four of their last six. So not great. They're still 6-4 over their last 10. It's a body. You can always manipulate the schedule to figure that out. You can say they're 2-2 in their last four, so they're 500. But yeah, they're four of their last six. But if you look at the injuries that they're having right now that they're going through, which most teams are going to go through,
right?
They're going to be fine. Fortunately for the Astros, they've built a big enough lead and they have a big enough cushion that they can absorb a bad month of June because of injuries and whatnot and get themselves healthy.
Now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I saw you smirking.
Yeah, and I think this is one that's going to make you at least not feel so good about that statement. It was just announced that Lance McCullers is now going on the disabled list because of lower back discomfort.
So all five of their starters
have either been on or continued to be on the disabled
or had been demoted to the bullpen.
Yeah.
As in the case of Fires.
Which you couldn't even follow through on. So when does
Musgrove, Musgrove should be back
soon. He's pitching tonight.
Okay. So he's back. So yep. You've got your one of your two fives back. So that's great. So now you've got your two fives and then a bunch of kids.
Because, you know, two fives. So, two fives equal two aces almost every time, no matter what card game you're playing.
So I'm looking at their next five.
Well, you don't like their next two opponents if you don't have those guys.
Rangers for three, Boston for three. So their next six, this is the starters. Musgrove, McCullers, we know isn't going to start.
Right.
So that'll probably be Martes, I would guess.
Oh, boy.
So Musgrove, Martes, Peacock, Fires, Paulino, and then Musgrove again. That's going to be your six games against the Rangers in Boston.
There's a murderer's row people are afraid
of. Of which you'll face Darvish, Martinez, he's 1-3, yeah. Cashner, Pomeranz, Porcello, and Price.
And they don't, so they won't even see Sale.
No.
But they don't need him.
You're going to face Porcello and Price with Paulino and Musgrove.
I will say Price got lit up pretty good against the Yankees last week.
Yeah.
Still.
He's
working his way back.
Yeah.
But I would still take my chances with an experienced major leaguer than the guys that the Astros are going to start throwing out. This is one of those downturns when we talk about the season being a roller coaster. For all the ups,
this is that dip.
This is the dip.
And Porcello's not doing great either, but this is that dip.
But it becomes when you dip, we dip, we dip. Because, I mean, four out of six they've lost, and then you just brought that line, that pitching lineup to the table against those two teams. Oh, boy.
That's sad.
That's not good. Yeah, I just happened to look at Twitter while you were talking, and I was like, uh-oh.
Oh, Jake gosh, Kaplan they just announced that?
Jake Kaplan on Twitter reporting the latest blow to an already depleted Astros rotation. Lance McCullers going on the DL because of lower
it's all over Twitter.
Back discomfort.
I need to look up their depth chart, because on ESPN, when you look at the depth chart for the team, they'll tell you who's on the DL. But what they don't tell you that I don't like is how long, and ESPN still needs to update it. They have everybody on the 15-day DL, and that doesn't exist. That changed this year. It's 10 now. ESPN, get your stuff together. But yeah, you can see Gustav, Keuchel, McHugh, Morton, and Musgrove all on the DL. And now you can add McCullers to that as well. Jeez.
Hey, man.
Yikes.
Good thing they got a 12-game lead. But
they might need every bit of those 12 games or more.
For as comfortable as it's been to this point, get ready to fasten your seatbelts, because it may be a bumpy ride here for a little bit, because the opponents are getting better and the pitching staff isn't, while they continue to deal with injuries. So if you just joined in, McCullers on the DL with lower back issues. Musgrove off tonight. I don't think that's a trade you like. You'd like to have them all back and healthy, but right now we don't even know when Charlie Morton will be back, though hopefully he's making progress. But the pitching staff seems to be on a downturn, even though the offense is still putting up runs. So tonight opens up a big series with the Rangers again. And then, as Barry said, Red Sox later in the week. So if you want to talk Red Sox, let us know. If you want to talk Rangers, let us know. If you want to talk about the woes of your Astros, let us know.
Are we going to cover the whole next half hour of USA versus Mexico soccer?
Well, that would equate for only 1/8 of the amount of time in your life you would have lost to see a 1-1 draw last night had you watched the entire game.
Did you watch it?
I watched hockey.
Did you?
I did. What did you watch? And forth.
I didn't watch hockey or soccer.
I watched House of Cards. Damn all that other stuff.
Dude, I'm telling you what.
I need to get on that House of Cards.
I watched an okay movie, Gold. It was not even that good.
Gold?
Yeah.
You just
never
said
heard
an
of
okay
it.
Okay movie, and now it wasn't very good.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay movie, and it's just, it wasn't the best movie. It was okay, I guess.
Tell you what, that hockey game, man, you were sleeping on that. Playoff hockey, especially in the
Stanley
Cup. It's
fun. It's good.
It's intense.
Yeah.
So whatever you guys want to talk about within reason, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call, text, or hit us up on Twitter. The usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the boys are back because it's Monday. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We continue to roll on. We did touch on the Stanley Cup for those of you that care. We talked a little bit about the Astros, and now, of course, tonight, Game 5 of the NBA Finals. We did not get to catch up on Game 4 simply because it was a Friday night game, and then had the weekend to stew on it, but I wanted to get your thoughts on that, and then as we lead into Game 5, expectations in Oakland tonight.
One, I'm kind of mad.
That's a shock, is it not, Nick? Barry and mad? Come on.
Well, I just wanted this series to be over, too.
I kind of wanted to see history made if it was going to be this bad to
you watch. You were counting on that, 16-0.
Yeah,
that would have made you look like a genius.
It to happen, yeah.
Yeah, I know that's why you were pissed that Golden State blew it. No, I just, you know, I'm kind of done with the NBA playoffs now. I'm ready to move on. Let's just focus on baseball, get ready for football. But Cleveland made a game of it, man. Look what happens when they get a little support, you know?
I've been preaching it the whole time that they have to get, you know, contributions from everyone. But in watching it, and again, it was hard to watch. But again, the numbers that were put up were pretty spectacular. Score 86 and a half to score 50 and a quarter. Man. You know, but then my takeaway was that's how good Cleveland has to beat this team, because it was still an 11-point game in the fourth quarter with plenty of time left. Golden State had plenty of opportunities, and I'm thinking, if you've got to play that out of this world record-breakingly good to beat this team, it's going to be hard to do what you did a year ago and come back from 3-1, but at least they did it to salvage a game. They avoid the embarrassment of being swept, but I don't have confidence they can do what they did last year again this year.
And it was the perfect storm, too, because you had Cleveland shooting over 50% from beyond the three-point line, and they went 24 for 45. J.R. Smith went off 5 of 9. Kyrie went 7 of 12. But I say a perfect storm because you also had Golden State, who shot less than 30%. They shot 28% from behind the three-point arc, 11 of 39. When you combine those two, yeah, it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah, no question.
It's going to be a ugly game.
And you looked at it, and yet I still really firmly believe Golden State was going to make a run in the second half. They started right out of the gates to start the second half, 6 in a row, 2 threes. It's like, look out. Lou calls a quick timeout. But in looking at it, I'm with you. Of the three-pointers that J.R. Smith made in particular, but the Cavs early on, a lot of them were 6-8 feet behind the line. It was just one of those nights. But I don't want to take anything away from Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie Irving was spectacular.
Yeah.
And he does have the best handles in the game. And when he gets going like that with his ability to finish with both hands around the rim, he's special. But we've said this time and time again, you've got to have contributions from everybody. When he and Love and LeBron are all playing at a high level and you're getting contributions from Smith and some of the supporting cast.
Tristan Thompson had a ton of rebounds.
Finally
felt like.
Showed
yeah,
up and
yeah.
did something.
And he had big plays too.
Korver made a couple of threes and you're like, okay, well, you're getting some contributions from guys that were drawing donuts. So you've got that, but if that's all, you have to have all those things happen for you to beat the Warriors. I don't see that happening in a 7-game series enough to give you to make you relevant.
No, I mean, yeah, they're going to have to shoot that bad every game out, and the Cavs are going to have to shoot that good every game out. It feels like how much credit do you give to the Cavs defense for the poor shooting that Golden State had, because they shot 44% from field goal range, you know, just from the floor. With 28% from behind the three-point line. I mean, that's neither one of those are good numbers.
No.
How much do you give it? Is that a cold night? Because, you know, I wasn't seeing a ton of closeout defense from the Cavs that made me think, oh, they're really affecting the shots. It just felt like nothing was falling for the Warriors.
Completely agree. And I think more than anything else, I wouldn't blame it on – I wouldn't give credit to or blame the defense. I would say Cleveland finally did what we've been saying the entire time. Regardless of how enticing it is to get into an up and down, when they're going to let them play physical, when you could tell that there was a little attitude, slow it down. And they were able to do that. They slowed it down, even though they would get the quick rebound and they'd throw the outlet. They'd wait. They were more methodical. They got the shots that they need to get. They got the physicality that they have to have. They got the calls to go their way in some regards in terms of letting them play. But don't get suckered in. For 3 games, they got suckered in because they played decent in spurts, but they kept trying to play fast. Yeah. When you can slow it down and muck it up a little bit, that's the Cavalier team that can beat the Warriors.
Yeah, well, they looked good this last game. I just don't know if they're going to be able to. I mean, it doesn't change my mind. What did I say, 5 or 6? I don't remember.
I think you said 6.
Did I say 6?
I said 6.
Warriors and 6?
I said 6.
No, you had them undefeated. You had the Warriors
in 4.
After the fact,
I said I could see him winning 4, but on record for the predictions for the series, before the series started, I said Warriors in 6.
So it's not going to surprise me if they win one on the road. I tell you what, though, if they go on the road and win one, things get pretty interesting.
Yeah.
There's going to be some tight buttholes in that Golden State Warrior locker room. They're going to be freaking out a little bit because they're going to say, you have to start thinking, not again. You lose two in a row. Now you've lost one at home if that happens. Now you start thinking, not again. This can't be happening. You come out on the road now, you know, only up 3-2. You probably start that game playing a little tight. I mean,
This is the one you got to grasp because you're at home. People want to celebrate. You're not going to have to worry about overcoming the crowd.
Yeah.
You're not going to have to worry about all of the different factors that, you know, on the road with the hotels and the travel and all that stuff. You need to just kind of grab the bull by the horns, grasp the reins, take this thing home and finish it off.
And it always seems silly to me that sports fans, whether you're just listening to this show or you're just a big-time sports fan, but they all start that whole, do you think Golden State's just blowing this so they can win it at home thing? Someone tweeted
Twitter
me
too.
That.
Yeah,
I'm like, no one does that. No one takes that risk just to close it out at home. All those guys want to do is win. They don't care where it is. You're not trying to lose a game on purpose so you can win at home. There's no guarantee you win at home. There's no guarantee you win another game. You're up 3-1 and look what happened.
Yeah,
so
just one of the I kept seeing it on Twitter going, seriously, it's so hard to get there, let alone to win a closeout game.
You're not going
to
start rolling dice thinking,
no
yeah, we'll
chance.
Lose this one. No. No, you're trying to win every game.
Yeah,
every
let's play
time.
A little Russian roulette. Let's just fire some shots into the wind because we've got a little bit of a pad. No, because that pad can get real tight, real hurry, like you just covered, and all of a sudden you're in the middle of a series. You don't want that. You've been in full control. I'm sure that they wanted to do everything, and it was just one of those nights. They ran into the perfect storm, and it blew them away.
Yeah.
But I expect a Golden State team that's going to come out focused tonight. They're going to come out high energy. They're not going to miss the shots, as you highlighted, that they missed last game. And again, the Cavs can compete. They can be in this game, but they got to get contributions from everyone.
Word. Go ahead.
I was going to say, as part of it, yeah, did you see also that Charles Barkley on the broadcast the other night said he's going to spend the next 6 weeks on a fat farm and he will not be available for the rest of the finals or the draft or those huge NBA awards on the award show?
So, well, good for him, first of all. But I saw that it was because he was embarrassed of his weight.
So I can shed a little light on this because I've known the Chuckster for a long time, and he's done these things. He used to do them more frequently.
Yeah, he was a spokesperson for Weight Watchers for a while, wasn't he?
Even before that. These fat farms are his thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he already is freakish. He has that freakish ability that trainers will always tell you never do what he does. He just has the ability to do it. Where he'd come in, he wouldn't touch a ball the entire offseason. We'd go to Vegas for 5 days before training camp started, and it would be nothing but golf all day, drink and stay out all night, and then roll a Lazy Susan in that had like cheeseburgers, fries, carrot cake, pies, whatever. And he's like, I can start losing weight the day we start training camp. And then from the day training camp started, he'd get those thick champion sweats. He would go through a full, they were doing 2-a-days back then. So yeah, he'd go through the 3-hour session wearing the champion sweatpants. And then after practice, he'd start running suicides in the sweatshirt and sweatpants. Then he would go immerse his whole body in like an ice bucket, in like one of those ice tubs, go back and do the night session and do it again. And our trainers were like, do you realize in 2.5 weeks he got back down to his playing weight and probably dropped almost 35 to 40 pounds? He goes, that's not healthy. But he's able to do it. We would never encourage anyone else to do these kind of things.
There's no way you can lose 30 pounds in 2 weeks, though. Are you just over-exaggerating for the sake of the story?
I would say it was close, but probably by the time training camp, in a month's time, like when training camp was over and
seem,
the preseason, he was down to his playing weight.
I could see that.
But
especially
he lost
if you're real
it in
fat.
A hurry.
Because if you're real fat, you can lose. I mean, I lost 13 pounds in 12 days on a specific diet that I did.
Right.
That was designed by a guy who helps fighters cut weight for MMA fights. So I can see that. And I mean, I've seen guys in a 6-week camp drop 30, 40, 50 pounds for fighting.
But I believe it's called the AFSHRAM. But what he likes to do with these fat farms that as he got older in his career, he did these so he didn't have to be so psychotic in trying to lose the weight. But essentially, you live on nothing but like a handful of nuts and some fruit, and then you do nothing but hike uphill and through like desert trails.
What?
For like 6 hours at a time.
This is the fat farm that he's going to?
The fat farm that he's always gone to. But people also have to factor in and consider he now has, I believe, an artificial hip and at least one knee replaced.
He needs to leave Shaq alone then. You can't be picking a fight with Shaq with a fake hip.
Just like that's why LeVar Ball said he could probably beat Charles in a one-on-one. Yeah, well, when you're playing with one wheel and half a hip.
He's got a bionic hip. I wonder if it's like Bluetooth enabled. He can control it, like bump up the tension or whatever.
Based on his inability to control Twitter, I don't think there's any way he could handle anything with that. But yeah, so he's going to be out, which it means at least Shaq can relax now because there won't be any tension or back and forth going on between those two guys.
Yeah. By the way, I got this text about brakes. Why do you think you deserve a cheaper price for a brake job? Do you give a discount when you do your show, Barry? What? First of all, what the hell are you talking about? $700 for a brake job is ridiculous. I didn't say I wanted a discount. I said that's a stupid amount to pay. Like the $350, okay, I'll go do that. I didn't ask for a discount.
Yeah, you just
I just said $700 is ridiculous for something that another place will do for $350. What are you talking about, dude? Are you listening?
Yeah, so this is about the time I need to start checking the text line, because when texts like that start coming in.
It's like, what are you, what?
You're not asking for a discount.
And I'm just catching up. That was like
you
at 115. I'm just now
for,
catching up.
If you're going to get screwed, you might as well use some Vaseline, because right now you just prefer not to get screwed over.
Yeah,
that's basically silly. What it is.
Yeah, I'm giving you a discount for this free radio. I'm giving everyone a discount. I don't know. I think our listeners drink early.
But if you're not drinking and you want to do Barry's breaks, we'll mention you.
Yeah.
I can show you
they're
that.
Drunk
I can assure you that.
Now.
So at least they're not waiting to Wednesday or Thursday. They're teeing it up early for us on a Monday on the text line. So if you want to reach us via text and it's worthwhile, HRNP listener line 713-780-3776 with this beautiful bump music. It's Nick, it's Joel, it's Barry, and it's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. To vacation.
You know who it is. It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick with you until 4 o'clock. Let's do a giveaway right now. Let's give away some tickets. Here's a chance to win 2 tickets to see Boss Skaggs and Michael McDonald as they bring their joint tour to the new Smart Financial Center this Monday, June 12th at 8 p.m. You get to go watch over 5 decades of music pedigree dating back to the San Francisco scenes of the 60s, the undeniable soundtrack of the 70s. It's a dream come true for classic rock fans, blues and Motown mixed in with there, the 80s. All that combined into one, Boss Skaggs and Michael McDonald on tour. And if you don't win these tickets, you can still get tickets available on Ticketmaster.com. But we're going to give you some tickets right now, a pair of tickets to go see Boss Skaggs and Michael McDonald at the Smart Financial Center. Just be caller number 10, 713-780-3776. That's caller number 10, 713-780-3776. And have fun.
Michael McDonald. He always had that falsetto voice.
He reminds me of a Ryan brother. Like, he's that third Ryan brother that didn't get into coaching and just thought he'd go the musical route. Right? A little bit.
Or that Barbara Streisand's husband. He has that look. Like, he's used too much of the Just for Men. Like, his beard and everything was always that dark, dark, dark black.
Yeah.
Thick. And yeah.
I got to tell you, I don't know much about Boss Skaggs.
Though. I don't either.
You know a lot about Just for Men.
Shut up.
Wow.
Still got that crap on your face?
I hate you.
Well, I mean, you brought it up yesterday. We might
Nick,
as well tell it now.
Because you waited till the third, fourth segment of the show before
jerk
you
ass.
Get the first shot.
Jerk ass jerk.
I'm just saying there's two different audiences from today.
That's true.
And yesterday, people want to know.
I shouldn't assume that everyone that listens on Sunday listens on Monday and vice versa. I shouldn't assume that everyone that listens on during the week listens on Sunday. So I think my wife pranked me, Joel.
Oh, this was yesterday?
I told the story yesterday, but it happened Saturday night. Yeah, I think my wife pranked me, and I didn't appreciate it. So I've been trying to grow my beard out, and I can't. Like, it's real patchy, and it's got holes in it. And so I was reading online where they said, you know what you should do is you let your beard grow for, like, 30 days. Just don't shave it. Don't do anything. And you'll see that it'll fill in. The problem is most guys just give up and shave it too early. Mm-hmm. So you've got to give it more time. So I started doing that, and what I've been doing is just trimming it down. I don't shave with a razor. I shave with, like, clippers just to, you know, get it down to a stubble. So my wife was like, she was looking at it. She goes, you know, you got a bunch of blonde hairs in there. Maybe what you should do is get your Just for Men that you use on your goatee every once in a while and do it on your whole beard. Like, do your whole thing. And that'll darken all those blonde hairs, and it'll probably fill in those holes. So I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So when you do Just for Men, they tell you to use, like, Vaseline or something on the places where you don't want it to get on your skin, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. So I put, like, you know, like, these lines up on the top of my cheek, like my cheekbones, right, to keep it from getting up there. And that was pretty much it. So I do the Just for Men, and it stained my damn face, and I couldn't get it off. And I'm in the shower for, like, 45 minutes scrubbing my face because it won't come off. And my wife is dying laughing at me. And I'm like, did you set this up? Is this a prank that I didn't know about? Are you punking me right now?
Oh, wow.
And I could not get it off. So I'm like, because it says don't use soap, use shampoo, or I guess it strips all the stuff. So at first I'm just using shampoo, and I'm like, oh, it's no big deal. By the time all said and done, I'm using, like, hand soap and a scrub brush that you would clean the shower with, scrubbing my face. My face was raw the next day. Like, you could see the redness on my face, and I still had very distinct lines, like beard lines from where I had put the Vaseline on my cheekbones, where the stuff didn't get. Yeah, it wasn't real cool. So I finally got it off for the most part, and then I kind of trimmed my beard down again. But yeah, I looked like a moron yesterday for most of the day.
But it looks like you got most of it. Yeah, but I didn't notice it until he brought it up, honestly.
You could see, like, it was still on my ears and stuff because I didn't put any Vaseline over there. And that's not the part that I scrubbed real well. So yeah, that didn't go very great. So I was like, okay, I see how it's going to be. My wife just punked me. That's fine.
So you've had experience with the Just for Men stuff before, and it works.
Yeah, if you just, like, I would do it in my goatee, but I would put, like, the Vaseline around the goatee,
yeah,
and then I would just do the Just for Men on that hair. Like, I wasn't putting it on my face. So understand, I have these bald spots on my face that I'm putting extra Just for Men to get the blonde hair, and it stained the bald spots, plus the lines on my cheek. Yeah, I look like an idiot.
But you have
I mean,
more
I look
success.
Like an idiot anyways, you but now I look like a bigger idiot.
When you put it on your landing strip, right?
No, I don't do that.
Oh.
I don't have gray hair down there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, while you were enhancing, I thought you might
No,
have...
No, it's not just for crotch. It's just for men, for the face. Checking, it's for the face.
Because the short and curlies need love, too.
No.
I thought you might have been...
You have gray hair down there?
No. But
okay.
I thought you might have been doing a little manscaping to make a little bit of an artistic approach.
No.
It. No?
No.
Okay.
Uh-uh.
So you had to endure that yesterday, Nicholas.
Yeah, and like I said, I didn't notice it till he pointed it out, and then when he pointed it out, you can really notice it. But remember, I'm a lot further away from Barry than Shock is, and Shock didn't really notice it either, right?
Not at first, but when I pointed it out, they were both like, oh my God, like, it was everywhere.
Self-consciously, you're thinking the whole world can see this.
Well, I always said, like, when I do the Just for Men, I go from kind of, because my goatee is pretty gray. And so I go from, you know, just regular facial hair with gray to this, like, almost jet black.
Like Michael McDonald.
And yeah, and I feel like a magician. It looks like a magician's goatee. You know how they look like magicians have like a really pronounced goatee?
Yeah.
That's what I felt like when I do it normally. So now I've got this little bit of raggedy ass stubble that I could grow, plus the bald spots are just black. Oh, yeah. I felt like an idiot.
It's a good look.
And then I told my wife, I was so pissed.
You looked like you felt.
I was so pissed. At one point, I told my wife, I was like, you know, if this doesn't come off, I'm not going to work next week. Like, I'll use vacation. I'm that vain. I'm not showing up with this stupid-ass stuff on my face looking like an idiot because you thought it would be funny to prank me.
And everybody's walking, dude, you drawn on your goatee.
Yeah. Somebody texted the show and said, yeah, she definitely pranked you. If she had been honest, she would have said to use black shoe polish. Is that true?
that's not going to stay on.
I once saw I don't know. When I was looking for, like, cause I was reading things about using, like, beard oil and beard wax to help condition the hair on your face to grow more, like, fill in the holes in your beard.
Okay.
And then I saw one guy that was saying he was using shoe polish and, like, some sort of, I don't know, like a sponge, and he was dabbing it on his face to fill in the patches in his beard, and it worked. It looked like hair.
Well, shoe polish comes with a sponge.
I wonder if I could get like a can of hair like LeBron does and just spray the patches. I wonder if that would work. Be my luck, I would do that, and it would rain, and then it would melt off my cheek. And it would be like underneath my chin, and it would just look weird.
Speaking of that, did you watch the game yesterday? Real quick before we go to break, Nick, you guys watch the game? One of the Angels pitchers took his hat off right before he threw his first pitch. He had the zipper across the back of his head from ear to ear, having had the plugs done, yeah. And they just haven't come in yet. When he sees that tape, if he goes, oh,
yeah,
like I probably should have never taken my lid off, because you got a hat on every day, you can cover it up. But he took it off and right in dead camera view, right across the back of his head, like a straight line, like the equator, going right from ear to ear. It's like, oh, you've had plugs.
Missed that.
Wow. That's about all you missed in that game yesterday, and I didn't miss much. Okay, so we got Glenn that wants to get in here on Astros, and then we'll continue to roll on. One in the books, two to go, plenty more show right here, The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.